Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
For an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
This is Loveline.
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 With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Oh, yeah. Get it on, everybody. We're going to get it on.
Adam is filled with glee because he got the finger.
I got the finger from engineer Chris. One of the reasons I got into radio was to get the finger.
That moment.
You're on.
Just to live that moment, night after night.
That girl, you know, whenever you watch a movie and they're in the radio, first off, they don't wear headphones, or as we call them, cans. That's the one thing they never do.
Oh, is that right?
Second thing, they always show the VU meters going back and forth.
Well,
and
no
third,
doubt these guys will take a picture of that, too.
Pow!
The cameras in the studio. They'll always have to take pictures of
that. Oh, yeah. You got to get, we got some cameras in the studio for celebrity hobbies. Yeah. On Drew's a celebrity? Or
hobby.
Well, first off, hobby. Opera, not a hobby. You, not a celebrity. I don't think it works on any level. You know, it's funny. I've watched Celebrity Hobby before.
Oh, is that right?
What is it on? DIY or yeah, DIY? I watch all those channels. I love all those do-it-yourself things and home and garden and all that crap. But I have seen Celebrity Hobby, and basically, and Drew, I know you haven't. Here's what it breaks down. It's either celebrities you've never heard of or ones you have heard of that are just pimping their stuff. Like Sammy Hagar's hobby is cooking with Sammy Hagar tequila, Cabo Wabo tequila. By the way, your hobby, cooking with tequila. And by the way, how big an alcoholic do you have to be to actually making like scrambled eggs with tequila? You just can't take a shot. You got to dump it in everything you're actually making.
It's a great precedent. It's nice to promote that. It's good.
Yeah. So I don't know. Drew, what are you doing? You're singing?
Well, this is a musical thing. I think I'm on with like Teller.
Mm.
Plays the cello or something.
Wow, I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you one DI. So usually, usually on the celebrity hobby things, it's like, she was the neighbor's son from the Parkers.
Yeah.
Now she makes mobiles. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what she's making. I don't know who she is. I've never seen this person before in my life. And let me tell you something. I'm not just being a snob. I've wide peripheral vision for celebrities.
Yes.
They have celebrities that I've never heard of or never seen. But I was watching one day. And they said, and now next on Celebrity Hobbies. And I turned to my wife and I said, yeah, this is going to be good. I guarantee you've never seen this person before in your life. The person was Chris Darga, who stays in step with them because, no, you don't know who Chris Darga is and nobody else does either.
Right.
He's a good friend of mine who I worked with for many years and had a construction business with and stuff. It was just ironic that I made the proclamation that, hold still, honey. Believe me, you've never seen this person.
Technicality.
Guys eating at our house 300 times.
Technicality. No one else has ever heard of
him. No one else has ever heard of Chris Darga. But he makes giant dinosaur heads now.
Out of what? Paper mache?
No, it's incredible. He makes them out of like fiberglass and, you know, epoxy injected molding and extruding, and it's crazy.
Ornamentation around the home.
He went
a triceratops head in your entry hall.
Let me explain. And this has nothing to do with anything, but I used to be a carpenter, and I had a little business, and it was me and my buddy Chris Darga, who was over at the Groundlings.
Oh, wow.
And he's been in Bruce Almighty and Hudsucker Proxy and Seinfeld. You would recognize the guy in a second. Punch up Chris Darga, Chris. Come on, buddy. Let's go.
Break it down.
Come on. Do I have to tell you? You should have been on that. Point is at some point, the guy just starts Richard Dreyfuss in Drew. You can come in with the movie name at any given time.
Goodbye Girl.
No, like Richard Dreyfuss in no.
That's all I know he's in.
No, Encounters of the
Close
Third
Encounters.
Close Encounters. He just gets inspired and starts going nuts and starts building these like molds and stuff and making from scratch like dinosaurs, like first small figurine size ones. Next thing you know,
he's got
a Tyrannosaurus Rex, a T Rex head that's like 8 feet big, and he's selling it for like $20,000. It's weird. He just went nuts. He never mentioned a thing about dinosaurs. He never talked about sculpting. He never talked about anything.
quite a business.
No, not a great
business. Not a great business? 20 grand for a head?
That he spent 6 years on.
Oh, okay.
It's like that experimental spacecraft they put up there. It's like they win the $10 million prize.
Spent $100
million. $25 million. Yay, there you go, everybody. You're getting 30 cents back on the dollar. All right. Hey, everyone, Drew punched a mic. No, when you show this, run it in slow motion, like they do in boxing. Let's get a mic punching analyst in there to say, "Look at Drew, look at that form.
That technique.
Dips the left shoulder, then pow, clips it with an uppercut." All right, you ready to go here, Drew?
Yeah, here we go.
What are we missing? What's going
on? Phone number.
We
got to
get it on.
We're good.
We're going to get it on. Bonnie Somerville's in here tomorrow night from NYPD Blue, and then Puddle O' Mud is in here on Wednesday night, and we're going to get calls from Iraq. They are actually going to call in from Iraq and talk to Puddle Mudd, who was just over in Iraq doing a USO show. All right, you ready to go?
Yep.
Sam.
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
When does this celebrity hobby air, by the way, Drew? Nobody knows?
Nobody knows.
I'm going to watch for that. Okay. What's up, Sam?
Okay. I'm 16. I'm really sexual and everything, and I don't know. I don't like any sex except for anal. Is that weird?
Yeah.
No, it's bogus. It's a bogus call. Bogus.
No, I'm serious.
Bogus. Bogus.
I don't get the bogus. I'll go with you, but I
is that weird? I don't know.
Yeah, anytime it's you're right. Is that weird? It's always bad. You're right. Is that weird? Is always bogus.
Feel bogus, Sam. Not buying it. Not feeling it. Not feeling it, sister.
Well, what is the question then? Can I try to reframe? Yeah. Reframe.
The question is, okay, is it like, are you not supposed to do that? I mean, could you like hurt yourself, or
no? You better come up with a better question than that, because obviously you could hurt yourself.
Well,
you don't have to use your imagination too much to realize you could hurt yourself.
All right. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
This just random guys.
Yeah.
Is there a guy in the room with you right now?
No.
Put him on the phone.
He's not.
Hand him the phone.
He's not in the room. He's on the other line.
Give him the phone. Go get him.
I'm
go
serious.
Get him.
There's
go
no
get the
guy around
here. Go get him. Like I'm talking to my dog.
Get him.
Go get it, girl.
Sorry.
All right. All right. Well, who are you having anal sex with then?
Just like friends and guys on the football team type deal. I don't know. I didn't know if that was like not normal or if it's like a thing.
Well, whose suggestion is the anal sex? Is it your idea or is it they just keep going?
Well, it's my idea usually. It's just, I don't know. It just seems more fun and like enjoyable.
Hold on a second. Sam is like has a little serial killer in her.
Mm-hmm.
She not in this. All right.
That could be the bogus. It could be.
Part I'm not feeling her.
Right. That's why you get serial killers.
She's
the emptiness.
Just sort of. I like anal sex and whoever. You have a boyfriend? No, not really. Just guys on the football team or friends or whoever.
But of even people who behave like that know they're doing things that aren't normal. They know that.
Yeah, and the question is,
Am I normal?
Every 16-year-old in America is taking it up the poop shit. Absolutely,
with 100%. Every guy they come in contact with.
Sure,
the football team.
Well, other parts. Sometimes it's lacrosse teams. You know, if you're going to like a prep school or
something like that.
Depends what
region
part of the country you're in. You know, New England area might be a lacrosse team. Mm-hmm. Sure. Sam.
Yeah.
Where are your parents?
My parents, my mom's dead, and my dad's sleeping.
What happened to your mom?
What?
What happened to your mom?
She was killed in a drive-by in Chicago.
Oof.
What? So somebody just shot her while she was in her car?
She was involved with some people in a gang, and she got shot.
She was involved with a gang?
Yeah.
And how about your dad?
No, my dad is just completely, like, normal.
Were they married?
They ran a preschool.
They
she
were
a
normal.
Gangbanger.
They were married, and
sitcom.
Then they had gotten divorced, and they were living together.
Mm-hmm.
And she got gone with a gang?
Yeah.
How did you get caught up in a gang as a mom of, 30?
Well, it was through my brother, but it was like she got caught up in it, and she started dating one of the guys that my brother hangs out with.
Oh, my God. All right.
Now we got to talk.
Now it fits together.
All right, coming together.
Yeah. Yep.
Coming into focus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bizarre family.
Yeah. Well, bizarre behaviors now. Here we go.
Okay. Sam.
Yeah.
So you are getting caught up in an anal gang. Do you hear me? You ever run with that crowd?
No.
You know what color their bandana is?
No.
I bet I know.
Yeah. Think about it. Chris, you know what color the anal gang bandana? You know what the colors are?
No.
No.
No, you don't know?
No. Okay.
Junior college.
Well, it wouldn't be yellow. That's well, a different sometimes. Gang. Different gang. Sam?
Yeah.
Okay, so stop.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good thing.
All this acting out sexually, the need for super higher levels of arousal, that's all a function of the horrible upbringing or the horrible situation in your family when you're growing up.
Okay.
It's a mess. A mess. And I'm sure you saw a lot of sort of overstimulating, sort of shattering kinds of things, right?
I suppose.
Well, okay. I don't know. Did you see a lot of aggressive violence?
All right, listen, sort of who cares? Listen, yeah. Sam, you're going to need some therapy, baby doll.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say it. It's not your fault, but eventually it's your lot. You know what I mean? Let's talk about this for a second, yeah. Drew. You know, people shrug it off, like where we go, look, for what you've been through, for what you've seen, for you've been victimized, your parents, whatever, your family, you're going to need some help. You're going to need some work on this. And people shrug it off, sort of like, come on. And it's the shrug is sort of half, I don't need to do it, and half, that's not my problem. My parents are crazy. Unfortunately, it is the hand you were dealt.
Yes.
And it's really like shrugging off a bad hand and just you're just going to insist on staying in the game. No. You're going to have to fold.
Yeah.
You will have to fold. You but, have to do something.
And yet again, once again, whenever it pertains to the central nervous system, i.e. the brain, mm-hmm. people have a way of sort of dismissing it. It's like, well, that's nonsense. On the other hand, if she had two disordered limbs, she couldn't walk on her legs.
Right.
She'd be like, oh, I'm going to be a champion, and I'm going to make sure that I can walk and run again, and I'm going to overcome this.
Right.
And people applaud that. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Great.
Yeah.
But the same thing's going on with her brain. It's been scrambled.
You would be better... You would be happier if your child had an anus where your mouth was and a mouth where the anus
Isn't that
was.
A Yiddish curse?
It really
Must
should
be.
It really should be. You should have an anus where your mouth is and a mouth where your anus is and have to eat rectally and make number two, like you're
vomiting. You're not a good Yiddish.
You're right.
You should have an anus where your mouth is and a mouth where your anus is, and you should have diarrhea.
Yes, you should. That's what you should have. All right. Sam, therapy, baby doll.
Yeah,
and
somehow.
And stop. Stop for a little bit. Get yourself together now. Sorry for your mom and what you've seen, but now you got to get... She didn't sound stupid. Sound like...
No, she sounded but that kind of mature, like...
She sounded like she had been...
Through it.
Forced to be an adult prematurely.
Yeah.
Through... what she'd seen in her experiences.
You know what would be helpful for her, actually? You don't advise this to women very often, Adam, but a friend. You know, she has friends to hang out with. That would be helpful to her. People who actually care about her, not participating in all the craziness with her. Just spend simple time with her.
Right. Pax.
Hey.
18.
I was just on the Dr. Phil website, and I found...
Oh, good times.
Thing. What's that?
Good times.
All right.
Oh, yeah. And it has this link to where it says characteristics of a serial killer, and I was laughing like a madman because, first of all, they describe 85% of the male population, and second, they describe you, Adam, like almost all of them.
You might be surprised.
Well, no, wait a minute.
What do you got over there, by the way? And most of these things, you know, they do suck you in by having common characteristics, and then there's two or three that you're missing.
Right.
And that's what really defines that population.
They tend to torture small animals.
That one's on there.
They tend to smear their feces and play with their poo and stuff.
Well, that was you and your friends.
Yeah, you're in that one.
Yeah, but I mean, we knocked that off by like 24.
Yeah. Okay.
24, 25. Yeah. 24, 25.
There is, what else on that list?
What else?
They hate their fathers and mothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, touche.
They do poorly in school, having trouble holding down jobs, and often work as unskilled laborers.
Oh, hold on a second.
I think like a madman.
Madman. All right, so how many of them are there? They're like 12?
There's 14.
14, all right. All right, so, okay, so... Okay, I'm not huge fans of my family. I got to say that. And, I did poorly in school. And, a little fecal play now and again.
All right, keep going.
Okay,
They tend to come from markedly unstable families.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think like a madman. Oh, I've got a drop.
I'm so happy.
Go ahead, keep going.
Here's Max. I'm so happy.
Smoke a lot of weed, Max.
as children they are abandoned by their fathers and raised by domineering mothers. I think like
No, not me.
No.
And unless you know, if you count a mom who locks herself in a room and yells freak out, because that is domineering. But I wouldn't.
No way.
No, because if you wanted to be dominated by my mom, it'd be like, mom. Mommy in there?
Come dominate me.
Hey, you want to come out and dominate? Undo the lock on the door and come out and do some dominating. Oh, and by the way, why don't you make something to eat? Oh, yeah. Make some eggs, then dominate, then back in the room for a bong line. Huh? Okay. There's a schedule. Go ahead, Pax. What's that?
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
No.
That's a no.
Okay. Their families have criminal, psychiatric, and alcoholic histories.
No.
Not criminal.
No.
No. Alcoholic, eh? Think about your mom's side.
Yeah. All right.
Close.
Nah.
Love.
Anderson got happy with the drops and stuff. Go ahead.
Many serial killers are fascinated with fire starting.
No. Well, I like blowing stuff up a lot.
Your farts.
I do light a fart now and again.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'll give myself half a check for that. That's a push. Right. That one's a push.
Okay.
Yeah.
Call it a fascination.
They're commonly abused as children, psychologically, physically, and sexually. Often the abuse is by a family member.
Mm.
Psychologically.
Yeah, but
they
really,
already said
really,
they're from a chaotic
really
family.
We're stretching now, yeah.
And the last one that I can see having any application is from an early age, many are intensely interested in voyeurism, fetishism, and sadomasic pornography.
Oh, well, that's...
Voyeurism. Yeah, the fetish stuff, no.
Big boobs. Fetish. That's considered fetishistic.
Yeah, by pussies.
And by Larry Flint. Remember he sat here and went, oh, you're into the boob fetish.
Oh, yeah, Drew, you're citing Larry Flint now.
I thought that was interesting. That I never thought about it that way for you, but he has it that way in his publishing archives.
He needs to go to the filling station to get a boner. You're citing him? How dare you?
And there's one more. The one for the mad props is they tend to be intelligent with IQs in the bright to normal range.
Well, I recently took an IQ test, and I think I got, what I get, like an 86?
Yeah,
maybe a 91.
Thanks, Anderson.
Thanks.
I was going to count on Anderson for that.
So, and by the way, Anderson must wear one of those quarterback wristbands that they wear in the NFL that have all, rookie quarterbacks wear, they have all the plays. It's like, heading is list of Corolla's failures. Just a quick cheat sheet.
So there's not a wristband large enough.
I'm just saying, this is...
Got both wrists.
This is just a little cheat sheet,
No, I remember 91. I remember 91 because it matched the president's.
Okay. All right, so, okay.
Matched the president's.
They said that George W. had a 91. Remember a few years ago that came out?
No.
And I thought it was funny that Corolla had the same one.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, but then we took the test randomly, and he had like a 104 or something, so...
Yeah, I got into three digits.
Oh, you cracked it.
I cracked three digits. That's when I took the test and just circled answers as fast as I could. Which, by the way, which probably means your test needs a little bit of help.
Yeah.
Because when I actually study it and take an hour with it, I get a 91, and then when I circle random answers as fast as I can, I do 20% better. Yeah. I'll get to Pax one more time here. Pax.
Yeah.
What are the other questions? Forget about the ones that have to do with me, but the other ones on the test. I'm curious.
More than 60% of serial killers wet the beds beyond the age of 12.
That is Adam.
Ooh.
You didn't know about that, Pax?
Well, yeah. First off, you should have started with that.
Yeah, that was
it didn't say bed, and it said, like, ice tray or something.
No.
No.
Adam was a long history with the bed.
Yeah, but, I don't know if I went past 12.
You did it in your girlfriend's beds.
Well, she had it coming.
That's what your famous story about.
We're talking about bed wetters, not the guy who has the occasional dream he's on the pot and lets loose in the sack.
Unless you are completely loaded on alcohol.
No.
You ain't going to do that after the age of 12 unless you are a bed wetter.
You're full of crap with this, Drew. And you know what? I have to straighten you out as a doctor every once in a while, which is it is common for guys to occasionally, and I'm saying once a year, maybe once every 18 months, to have a little tinkle in bed, a little screw up. I don't do it anymore, but I will do it and have done it periodically, probably every few years since the time I was 15.
Well,
a
little
15.
Tinkle is different than evacuating the bladder.
Well, all right. What about number two?
That's
Pax?
Nocturnal.
Yeah. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I wetted the bed late in life, but I don't think I made it past 12.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's about consistently, he's a bed wetter. I keep going. What else is on there?
High rates of suicide attempts.
All right. No, that's good.
Many serial killers spend time in institutions as children and have a record of early psychiatric problems. Involved with sadistic activity or tormenting small creatures, but I think we said that. I think that might be the lot of them.
All right. Well, thanks, Pax. It's enlightening. And, I could probably say yes to 9 out of the 14.
Well, how many do you need to be a runner?
Manson had 3.
Yeah. Pax?
Yeah.
How many do you need to be sort of in the running?
It doesn't say. It just says you may be raising a criminal. Here's how you can know.
Well, the whole thing is on the Dr. Phil special, kid had like 8, and the guy claims that Dahmer had 6 like that. and by the way, it's easy. It's easy with hindsight to just sort of. But by the way, most kids fall. If you wanted to make a case for, you know, most kids will hit an anthill with a magnifying glass,
right,
or wet their bed or something. You know, there's a lot of these that can.
So many people fall into most of these.
But Pax, what had happened to that kid that they were talking about on his show? Does he talk about?
I didn't see the show. I just found this online.
He's on a 6.
I wouldn't watch that show.
Spree.
Well, it was disastrous what they showed on that show. This kid was profoundly disturbed. The parents were in denial and flipping out simultaneously. And Phil's response was, you need to quit your job and spend more time with this kid. It's not, the kid has no problem. It's your relationship that's the problem. The kid's just acting it out.
Drew, you're so jealous of Phil.
Can you imagine? These people are going to lose their insurance resources. This kid will need to be chronically institutionalized.
Yeah.
And they're going to quit their job.
I don't know. I'll tell you. I'll put a contract out on my kid if he goes haywire.
You're a very practical guy.
I'll treat him like Old Yeller. I will show him Old Yeller.
You need to have a child.
I'm trying. I'm doing it right now.
You need. It's going to be a different world for you.
I'm just saying, if I got a kid that spins out that way, he's going off to Geneva to military school.
Oh, that I can see you doing.
Shipped right on out.
Yeah, that
I can
see.
You're gone, daddy gone.
Yeah.
I do believe bad seeds come into this world. Once in a while, you got a good family, you got a brother and sister, everything's fine, you're fine, you never did anything to the kid, you got a bad seed.
Happens.
It happens in nature all the time.
Absolutely.
And now we have medications, and we have programs, and we have doctors, and we can make a dent in it. But the truly bad seed, it's going to be tough. And that's where we freeze them. And I would tell my kid, look, I'm going to freeze you, and we're going to let until medical technology catches
with
up
it.
With you.
Yeah, we can dial something in
or
your
until
brain.
I get old and don't care.
Bring it back.
What your comes for? You're going to be with Ted Williams and Walt Disney. I'll put you right in between them. It'll be awesome. Be like Mount Rushmore of frozen heads. Be awesome. And it'd be like, why do I have to cut my head off? Hey, don't ask questions.
It's the future.
I'll explain the process to you. Don't tell me about the cryogenics or whatever.
Do they cut their heads off for that?
I don't know.
Is that the plan?
It seems like they do. I think they're trying to save freezer space. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Dr. Drew in the hizzy. Bonnie Somerville in here tomorrow night from NYPD Blue. And then Puddle of Mud. Calls from Iraq, from the soldiers in Iraq. The ground pounders in Iraq, Drew. Coming on Wednesday. There's two soldiers on hold.
Now?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should put them on like when we come back because I think they got the dates mixed up.
Oh, really?
Oh, we'll take them.
What line are they
7
on?
7 and 8.
7 and 8.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say
we're
hi.
We're running late.
Hold on, buddy. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Are you in Iraq?
It's the both of us. Yes.
It's the both of you. Are both of you in Iraq?
Yes, we're sitting right beside each other.
Okay. What do you do? What's your name?
I'm a personnel specialist, and she's an IMO.
IMO?
And what's your information management?
Ah, okay. Hold on a second. Could you get any more boring than that, by the way? Really? It's like talking to a Kelly girl. I want to talk to someone who's actually taking fire.
No, come on.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. Hello? What's going on?
Hello, we're here.
Oh, same people.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Hold on a second.
They're in Huntington Beach. Pretending to be in Iraq.
All right, look, we're gonna talk to someone allegedly in Iraq. It'd have to be. No, chicks would never know information officer and all that kind
of
stuff.
Good point. That's a good point.
Never know. Yeah. Never. They can barely know World War II. Hitler, huh?
They sound like they're 14, familiar.
Though. Well, they're young. They could be 18, 19 years old.
God.
Oh, yeah. That's the tragedy of war. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Iraq after this. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. That's military talk.
Let's go talk to the military.
All right. Now, allegedly, Maria is in Iraq.
Allegedly.
And I believe her because she's a...
ILO.
She's a chick, and she knew something about war. Maria?
Yeah.
What part of Iraq are you in?
Secured Iraq.
Tikrit.
Did you say Tikrit or secured? Yep. What did you say?
Do what?
Are you in Tikrit?
You're right.
Yeah. Tikrit. Oh, Tikrit. Okay.
Yeah, Tikrit.
Okay.
A lot of people say it different ways.
Yeah. How do the Iraqis pronounce it, or don't we care?
I don't know. I don't talk to them people too much.
Smart.
I don't know how they pronounce it. I don't get along with those people too well. So
you're an ambassador.
I try to stay away from.
Okay.
Wow.
And now what do you do? What time do you get up in the morning?
Ooh, sometimes 5:45, 6 o'clock, 6:30.
Mm-hmm. And you eat? And
We don't eat.
Oh, you don't eat?
Well, we eat, but it's not until like about 8:30, 8:39.
Mm-hmm. So you get up and you get up and go to work.
We do physical training.
Mm-hmm.
We do physical training.
Right. What time is it over there right now?
It's about 8:35 maybe in the morning.
8:35 in the morning. So it's about about 11 hours difference or something like that.
There's about a 9. Are you on East Coast or West Coast?
We're on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So it's 8:35 in the morning over there.
Where are you from?
I'm from Texas.
Texas. Okay. And it's Tuesday, 8:35 in the morning over there, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's your assessment? And by the way, do you have a question? Do you have a love line question?
No, not really.
No,
you don't
just want to chat.
Time for relationships out here.
When do you get to head back to the United States?
I'm not going back to the States. I head back to Germany in about February, March mainframe, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And do you fear for your safety where you're at now?
Oh, yes, especially after last night. Yes, I do.
What happened last night?
Every day.
Oh, that explosion last night?
Oh, well, yeah, like right here. So it was pretty bad. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, what happened last night?
Well, they was doing some barracks maintenance, and somebody hit off, let a mortar off, and it came right by our building, about 100 meters away.
Mm-hmm. So, so you don't feel safe where you are, but are you going outside of the perimeter, or do you have to go out on patrol or anything?
We go out the perimeter and stuff, but we don't go out on patrols or anything like that. Actually, this fog isn't too bad about, it was actually, I'm not going to say it was completely safe, and I'm not saying it was just we didn't get as much action as other fobs did, but lately, ever since we, all this stuff, we've just been had a lot been going on, and it's just like things have been getting worse day by day, and it's just kind of scary, and things are getting really bad here.
Just to set this up again, this is Maria from Texas, but calling from Iraq. She's a what kind of officer? IMO? Information officer?
Yeah, what's your...
I'm a human resources specialist.
Human resources specialist, which is why she needs to be in the middle of the hostile territory.
What do you do over there? What do we need you for?
What do you need us for?
Yeah, what do we need the human resources specialist?
Oh, we do, like, promotions. We do, it's just stuff, like, basically paperwork dealing with all the soldiers, you know, making sure all they're squared away, promotions, ID cards, all that good stuff. Mainly paperwork, so.
Seems like you can do that from your house. I would argue I could do that from my house in Odessa. Sarah.
Maria.
Oh, I mean Maria. Sorry, I was looking at Sarah's name. Thanks for calling. It was semi-enlightening. What? How hot is it? Is it hot there now? What's the climate
it
like?
It's pretty damn hot.
Pretty hot.
It's not as hot as it was. Yeah, winter's coming, so it gets kind of chilly in the morning, but it's still hot during the day.
Hey, Anderson wants to know who you're voting for. That's a good question.
Voting for? I guess I'm going to say Bush.
Yeah. All right.
I guess.
All right. Well, God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work over there.
Somebody's work.
Someone's work over there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, not the right.
I could feel the tension. Just, you know what I mean?
It's got to suck being over there.
Oh.
Yeah. Kind of,
but I mean, does it get worse than Tikrit? That's the Fallujah and Tikrit, and that's it. That's the bad boss stuff.
I don't know if it got worse than Tikrit, you know, 2 years ago.
That's right.
The only thing that's worse than Tikrit is Tikrit now.
Yeah.
It's first and second in the S category.
All right. Back to Loveline.
All right. Back to Loveline.
We're going to talk to Rebecca, another Iraqi soldier, after a Loveline call.
All right. Karen. Karen?
Karen, hello?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
You're 22. What's up?
I have a problem. It's like my fiancé, he says he can, like, go without sex. And there's been times when I want to have sex and he doesn't.
One sounds still right. My fiancé says he can go without sex. And there are times when we want...
When I don't want to go without...
There are times when I don't want to go without sex. There are other times when he thinks about sex. Maybe he's just freaked out over you hitting sex that hard. Three or four. Underline like six times. Like if you're reading this, if you're reading a transcript of this, sex would just be in italics and be underlined.
Yeah.
Karen?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right. How long have you been with your boyfriend?
5 months.
Five.
Is he your first boyfriend?
No.
What do you do for a living?
I do telemarketing.
Do you have history of any disabilities or anything?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah, you. Yeah, what's the problem?
My disability? I'm manic depressive.
Yeah. I could hear it the moment she opened her mouth.
Really? Pressured speech? More?
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything more than the manic depression?
Okay.
But you've been in and out of hospitals a lot.
I have been before, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Drew picked right up on that. Your boyfriend, now what's he do?
He's also a telemarketer for a different company than I am.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys able to make a living?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. And you don't say sex on the phone when you talk to these people, do you?
No.
Okay.
Is he on medication, your boyfriend?
He has never taken a pill in his life. He he doesn't like doctors, so if he can go without it, he won't go to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And are you, when you get manic, is that when you want sex more than him?
It's not most. I have like mood swings, so it's like when I'm in the mood, and he's like, honey, I'm just not in the mood. I get pissed, and I, like, get up and leave.
Do you have any children, Karen?
No, I don't.
Okay, very good. And are you using protection?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, that's good. And are you guys living together?
Yes.
You are?
Well,
And you're living together, you know, pretty soon, pretty quickly after meeting each other. You've only been going out for 5 months, right?
Right.
How'd you guys meet?
At work.
Work.
Yeah.
All right, so you're both doing the telemarketing thing?
Yeah.
What's, you're living in Boise, Idaho, yes?
Yes.
What's rent on a one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment over there where you're at?
We have a studio apartment that's $350 a month.
Ooh, wow. In Los Angeles, they would consider that paying you to live there.
That's right.
You paying $350 is considered free. Wow.
Cool.
Studio. By the way, you're living in Boise. Splurge a little. You know what I mean?
More than a studio.
Right.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, get yourself something with a kitchen.
Well, Karen, you guys have kind of a complex situation, right? You've got bipolar illness. You're on medication. You've had previous hospitalizations and institutionalizations.
Exactly.
You become hypersexual, perhaps, from your bipolar condition. You don't have a borderline personality disorder or something like that as well?
I do have mood swings, though.
But how about character problems? Borderline, anything like that?
I wouldn't say that. You'd have to ask Cam.
No.
No.
All right. The point is that you may have some other things going on besides your bipolar condition that make it very difficult for you to sort of be in a relationship and have intimacy and not be sort of consumed with chaos when you're in a relationship. He either may be freaked out about that, or maybe he's got other problems you don't know about yet. Whatever it is, you're a complex couple, and his sort of having a lower sex drive than you is probably just a little tiny piece of the story here.
Yeah. Complex is a nice
kind word.
I can see that.
What's that?
All right. So, Karen, you realize that you have some issues. He has some issues. Do you love the guy?
I would do anything for him.
Okay. Well, why don't you not chew his head off if he doesn't want to have sex?
Right.
And just see if you guys can get along.
Just compromise.
Yeah.
Guys can freak out a little bit when you come at them too aggressively about
right.
sex.
Living in a studio in Boise, Idaho.
Didn't know they had studios in Boise.
I fantasize like you renting in Boise. Smallest we have is a 9-bedroom.
Oh,
smallest.
Yeah.
It's an apartment. It's 9 bedrooms. It's got 11 bathrooms, and it's 3,700 square feet. That's the smallest. I mean,
maybe that's what you call a studio.
Maybe it is. All right. Well, good times, everybody. Our Iraqi connection is dropped off, so we'll pick that up again on Wednesday when Puddle of Mud is in here because they did a little USO action. We'll take ourselves a little break, and when we come back, a tantalizing Germany or Florida. Hold on, Drew. Don't go anywhere yet. Jordan?
Oh, hey.
You're 16?
Yeah, I'm 16.
What is you have a Germany or Florida for us?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm not quite sure how long ago. This is about 2 or 3 months ago. This guy calls into his local radio station, requests his favorite song. He then calls back about an hour later, still hasn't heard it, asks the DJ why he has not heard it. DJ tells him not the kind of song he wants to play right then hangs up on the guy. The guy calls back a total of 17 times, still can't get a song played, calls in an 18th time, tells me if he doesn't play, he's going to blow the place up, waits about 15 minutes, then walks down to the station with a handgun, and then was apprehended by police, and that's pretty much what happened.
All right, hold on a second.
Right.
We'll decide whether that was Germany. Drew, I know you've probably already made a decision.
Or
don't
Florida.
Do it. Don't share it.
Or Culver City.
After this. Yeah, everybody. Love Line. Get it on. Woo! Get it on.
Renegade.
Yeah. What's that?
I don't know.
Hey, that's Drew, everybody. He doesn't know. I'm Adam. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. When we left off, we're speaking to Jordan. Jordan 16. Jordan has a Germany or Florida for us. Jordan said that a guy called in a radio station, kept making a request for a song. The guy would not adhere to his request, and then said he was heading over there to shoot the place up, and cops...
Blow it up. And they
said blow it up, but they caught him heading over there with a gun.
Now
he said blow it up, but okay. They caught him
now
with a gun.
Now, here's the way this goes. First of all, making threats to a radio station is a pretty American thing to do.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I think we invented that.
The hacker walking around with a gun, American. People call 911 for the police for all kinds of things, American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Radio disc jockey pick up the phone? Impossible.
Yeah.
Not in this country.
Could have been a small market.
Small Florida market. Taking requests?
I'm going with Florida.
All right,
on this one.
I'll go with you.
Jordan.
Yeah.
We're going Florida.
Bingo.
There we go.
Thank you, buddy. All right, Drew. We're unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
We are a Germany or Florida juggernaut.
Machine.
We got Sugar Sheen.
20
Sugar Sheen
plus.
Sounds like some
who's keeping
sort of
score?
Great. Nobody's keeping score. God keeps score, Drew. That's who keeps score. Look, we've screwed up one in the last 15 or 16.
Yeah.
All right. Gina.
Yeah.
21.
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
I've known this guy for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's normally like a pretty nice guy.
Florida. Mm-hmm.
And he got dumped, so my friend set me up with him, like, hey, just go out with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and everything was going fine, and then we kind of fooled around. And
Yeah.
Thanks for yawning.
That's all right.
And then, like,
you know, it's a late night kick.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. So you fooled around with him.
And then 2 days later, he dumps me.
Mm-hmm.
And blah, blah, blah. He goes out with this another girl, and he ends up fooling around with her. And apparently, everybody's supposed to know about it except for me because,
Well, look.
Supposed to know about this another girl?
You had a couple of dates with him, and you fooled around, and he dumped you.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand what the other girl has to do with it.
It doesn't matter. Get over it. Chalk it up to experience.
Well,
move forward.
He keeps, like, hitting on me still and making comments.
Well, like, do not fall for it again.
He's an a-hole. Stay away. Did he actually dump you, or did he just start seeing other people?
He was like, he dumped me. Yeah.
He told you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
That's all right, Gina.
He's a colossal a-hole.
Lesson
he wants
learned.
To see if he can have sex with you, even though you're not having a relationship.
Yeah. Find someone who'll treat you right.
Stay away from that guy.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't have to call with that.
Oh, good times.
No, that's not a question, really. Guys will do what they can do.
Oh,
for
yeah.
the most
well,
part.
But women are confused by that.
Yeah.
He seems to like me.
Yeah.
He's attractive.
Well, why would he have sex with me if he didn't like me?
Oh, ladies, please. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Drew is a man of passion and a man of supreme passion who spread that passion like so much margarine on anyone who came into his passion crosshair. Anyone who crossed his passion path got creamed with his passion. A rich, frothy, spreadable tub of passion. That was Drew. And even Drew, Drew is a conscientious man. I mean,
conscientious passion.
He's passionate first, conscientious second. Yes? Yes. And you know, Drew, you know what a man is capable of. Maria?
Hello?
Is
that Maria?
24?
This is her husband.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
She fell asleep.
All right. Wow, it's got that compressed.
Hello?
The restricted.
What do you call that?
Constricted affect.
Constricted affect. What's going on there? Oh, what's your name?
My name's Tyler.
All right, Tyler. What's up, buddy boy?
Well, she was just wondering when she could start smoking pot or eating brownies. We had a newborn a couple weeks ago. And, we don't get high all the time, but
you're Mormon?
Every once in a while. She's breastfeeding. And
Well, she can't do it while she's breastfeeding.
Okay, what if she pumps first?
It'll stay in there for quite some time.
No, oh, it
cannot. Yeah, a week maybe.
Really?
Do not do it while she's breastfeeding.
More so in the breast because of the fatty tissue?
Exactly.
Yeah, more it
concentrates in the
more
fat.
More pot in your breast than in your forehead, right?
Well, probably.
Thank you. I'm a genius. What the hell's his name?
Tyler.
Tyler, yeah. Tyler.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a grad student and a preschool teacher.
Mm-hmm. Your voice sounds strange and affected.
Does it?
Any explanation for that? Maybe just nervous or something?
Yeah, a little nerves and a little taken back. I was
caught
expecting to wake up and give her the phone. But.
Okay. All right. So you're a smart guy. She's a smart girl. What's she do besides being a mom?
She's a phlebotomist and she goes to school.
Mm. What's a phlebotomist do?
Somebody that draws blood. She's going to have a problem if she gets caught at the hospital.
Mm-mm.
She should really, I mean, the pot will stay in her system for at least 3 days. This is going to be a problem for her. If she, and by the way, if you're smoking pot enough that you're endangering your child, endangering your job, that's not a casual user.
Mm. Phlebotomist is someone who operates a Flobie?
Phlebotomist.
Phlebotomist.
PH. Phlebotomist.
Phlebotomist. Not flow.
No, phle. P-H-L-E.
Phlebotomist. When they draw blood.
Yeah.
What's like, that? What's the origin of that word?
I think phleb.
And that's all you do?
Phlebitis is inflammation of the vein, so phleb must be vein.
You're not just a nurse? Are you a nurse?
Phlebotomy teams and stuff.
Really? Mm-hmm. What do they do?
Ground draw blood.
Like,
hospital.
Why are they drawing blood?
Because it's just so much blood drawn from a hospital to keep the, you know, the testing we need. I mean, people are having blood drawn, you know, every hour sometimes.
So they're lower than a nurse.
Yeah.
They don't need a lot of training. Mm-hmm. Eh, but decent gig, right? Mm-hmm. Pricking people all day long. That's PO'd. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a little break. I'll be right back after this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Groot digs this song.
I do?
Oh, I don't know.
No, it's the Modest Mouse song.
No. You're popping your head, though.
Yeah.
I kind of like this song. Hey, Bonnie Somerville in here tomorrow night from NYPD Blue, and then Puddle of Mud in here on Wednesday, Dave Navarro in next week, and it's back to the phones we go. Michelle.
Yes.
22.
Yes.
What's up, baby doll? What can we do you for?
Well, I just had a question. We found out that my husband has hepatitis C, so I just kind of wanted to know, like, if we should have kids or what we should do, basically.
Well, hold on. Is he a drug user at one time?
No. He has hemophilia, so he has to give himself shots with Factor. And
are you worried about having kids in terms of vertical transmission to the kids or in terms of his survivability?
Well, both, basically.
Mm-hmm. And is he going to be...
Because isn't it sexually transmitted?
It can be, yeah. There's actually debate about whether it can be, but I am absolutely convinced that it can be. I've seen a few cases where there's absolutely no other way I can imagine have been transmitted. Mm-hmm. And it's a retrovirus. It's very much like HIV in terms of how the virus behaves, so it makes sense that it would be sexually transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an easy one to get. It's a difficult one to get.
Okay.
Now, and you either have it or you don't, so you need to be tested, right?
Yeah. What was that?
And if you don't have it, the kids aren't going to get it from household contact, so don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's fine to have kids. Now, he needs to be treated. There's about a 30% cure rate or so. It depends on the selection of the kind of virus, that sort of thing, how the virus is behaving. But he definitely should go for cure.
Haven't you checked to see if you have hep C?
I haven't yet because we just recently found out that he does. So I haven't checked yet to see if I do.
All right. Well, you got to get a phlebotomist to draw a little blood. See how I work that.
Do you? Is he going to get treated?
Yeah, he is. Right. Well, we're still finding out a bunch of information about it, but because I mean, he goes to get his blood checked often since he is a hemophiliac. So, because he's a severe hemophiliac, so he gets his blood tested often, and we knew that he might have it, but I guess. Because when he got tested a little while ago, they said that he might have it, but they want to check again. So they just recently checked again and said that he for sure does have it.
Did they see his liver test becoming abnormal? Is that why they looked around?
I'm not sure.
Okay. They're not abnormal. They often won't even treat people with hepatitis C. But as soon as the transaminases, so to speak, become active, start elevating, then they use something called pegylated interferon and sometimes ribavirin with that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, interferon.
You feel like hell
delicious.
For about 6 months. You feel like you have the flu for 6 months. Can you imagine that?
No.
Ugh.
I got to tell you, 6 months ago when I was vomiting.
Yeah, 6 months ago when you were vomiting.
I was brutalized. Horrible.
You guys called. Your wife was going to call the hospital.
I had like 24-hour flu. It's brutal. I want to kill myself.
You actually got sick for a change.
Yeah, it's nice. Humbling. I was humbled.
That's good times.
I was humbled. Drew, hemophiliac.
Yes.
You don't clot?
Yeah.
Like platelet problems or something?
No, it's not the platelets. It's the factors in the blood that result in a clot formation.
And now everyone seems to think, well, hemophiliac, if he gets cut, he'll just continue to bleed. But why do you need to get all the transfusions and things?
It's more about bleeding internally and bleeding at the joints
you're
and things
absorbing,
like that.
You're absorbing your own blood and it needs to be put back into you? I mean, you have an internal blood leak?
Well, in other words, the blood will can damage things. It can bleed into joints and damage the hell out of them.
But why is he getting
the... He's getting the factor. He's getting the factor that his body doesn't manufacture. It's just a concentrate of a factor.
Oh, is that what she said? And
that comes from pooled sources, and it can be...
So that can be infected with blood product, hepatitis C. Yeah. So he's not getting blood put into him.
He may have had episodes of bleeding, too.
He's getting the component.
And these days, you know, they have, you know, it's genetically engineered stuff. Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
Did he get the hep C from transfusions or from...
Factor.
Tainted factor. So.
All right. Factor. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not like you get a cut on your hand, you never stop bleeding. I mean,
Some versions of it, but it can be difficult for them to stop bleeding. Yeah, it's not like they just pour out.
Right. All right. Because that, you just don't cut yourself, and if you do, put a tourniquet on.
But the more you bleed into your brain and things, the horrible things can happen.
Good times. All right. Let's talk to Will, who's 21. Will?
Yeah, hi.
What's going on?
Not too much. I'll see you later. I got some problems here.
All right.
I've been seeing this girl exclusively for about 2 weeks. We've been kind of dating on and off for like 3 or 4 months now. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, like, we go out on dates and stuff like that. Like, I pay for everything, and she never offers to pay, for anything at all. Like, movie tickets, gas, I mean, anything.
Gas.
And I'm
starting,
oh, my God.
This is an outrage. I will demand.
How about his clothing? Does she offer to pay for his clothing?
I don't say that she should buy him pants, but a shirt would be nice.
Socks? Underwear?
Undergarments? Sure. You know, maybe a vest.
How about his eyewear? Does he wear glasses?
A prescription or gas?
It's hysterical.
Chipping in for gas?
Times have changed. Hey, we cannot judge.
Will? She should be paying for gas and
maintenance too.
Not only gas, maintenance. As my mother once explained to me many years ago, when I finally did the goddamn math on the mileage, which was I wanted to ride from North Hollywood to Van Nuys, which about 3 miles as the crow flies, and she was explaining, oh, did my parents get mileage out of that gas crunch of 1977 or whenever the hell that oil
first
embargo
one, yes.
thing? '74. Talk about mileage. Forget about it. I mean, it was like all of a sudden, gas went from
32 cents.
No. Whatever. It was 50 cents a gallon. It went up to 80 cents a gallon. Forget about it.
Gas lines.
We had to push
shortages.
The car around now. Yeah. Yeah, we got a donkey to pull the car.
Get up tomorrow morning and wait in the gas line.
Yeah, as my mother explained to me when I told her, look, Van Nuys, 3 miles. You drive a VW Squareback. You get 30 miles a gallon there and back. 6 miles, that's less than a quarter gallon, which that's about 18 cents. She said, yes, but every time you start the car up, it costs money. And I thought, I got to kill myself. I have to kill myself. Oh, how did I get born into these people?
Oh my! I got a little bit of that, too.
All right. Drew got a ton of that.
I remember driving across town.
Oh, yeah.
2 miles across Pasadena.
What
across town. And again, the talk about the maintenance in the car.
I swear to Christ, I get in my car and just drive in circles around the block because I can. My parents had me convinced that getting in the car and rolling to the end of the street was something you had to plan months in advance. Yeah. You might as well go to the summit of Everest during the winter. That's what it'd be like. And we're talking, one small valley city to a neighboring small valley city. If you want to start talking about going over the hill or into Simi Valley or Santa Monica or something, it's like you needed permits. Checkpoints, visas. Oh,
papers.
Forget it. You had to get shots. Are you kidding? Jesus Christ. All right. So the point is, Will, it's not only gas, but it is oil. There's friction. When you start the car up, that's the dangerous time. That's when you got metal on metal bearing friction there. And then again, if you have a lease, you're getting in your
mileage,
lease mileage there, and wear and tear on the upholstery, dashboard, carpeting, things like that.
And
door hinges
again,
open.
Meals,
and
movies, clothing. She should be paying for all that.
Yeah, well, at least going in halfsies.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm just starting to think like the whole relationship's based on like her living off of me.
Is this the first time you've dated somebody?
Hold on a second. Where do you guys go to eat?
Pretty expensive places. She likes to eat at pretty expensive places.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Sushi and...
Ooh, all right. That'll set you back.
And
do you get any sex from her?
Yeah, occasionally. Not real often, but occasionally.
Well, wait a second.
What's not real often?
Yeah.
Once every 2 weeks.
All right. Are you into her?
Yeah, she's really cool. We have like real similar personalities. But
all right, let me. Uh-oh. That's a shame. You better hope she's hot. Here's the thing, Will. Okay, here's what it is. You will and should continue to pay for things. That's call me old fashioned. That's
dating.
How it goes.
That's dating. A woman has the option to belly up.
You
or
get
not.
Sex. She gets dynamite and a sushi. California roll. Yeah. And what's that dynamite?
What's that? Dynamite? What is
it's
that?
It's sushi. You know, that's dynamite log or whatever.
I know what that is.
You don't know what that is?
I know what the California roll is.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
She gets that. You get sex. Everyone's happy. It sounds to me like you're not sure where she stands, though, and you might want to ask her, look, are we boyfriend and girlfriend? Are we just dating?
Isn't kind of a little bit of a paranoid thought that she's just using me for money when she's engaged in the traditional cultural behavior of dating?
And having sex?
Yeah.
Will?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's 19.
All right. She doesn't have any money. What do you do?
I got a couple things going on. I've got a computer business.
All right. You're rolling then, Clover. Just take her, pay for her, have sex with her, and talk to her. I don't know what's going on.
Talk to her.
I rarely say that.
I know. It's hard for you.
I could remember going out on dates, though, and having them cost money and hurting a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It stung.
But you didn't think, you weren't outraged that the woman didn't belly up.
No.
You were just sort of, oh.
Yeah. Remember, it's stinging a little, especially no sex afterward. That was extra rough. You were passionate, man. You didn't have that.
No, yes, I did.
I had a horrible situation in that I hated my job. I hated it, and it was like physically, it was almost borderline abusive. Like, you know, just sort of digging and hauling trash and stuff like that. You know,
God, here we go. Did we not take ourselves back into that horrible feeling state?
Ugh.
This feels awfully familiar.
Feels
horrible. What were we talking about last week? Something that made us feel awful.
I don't know what it was.
Talking about the 70s or something.
I'm back. I hated my job, and I got paid like $7, $8, $9, whatever. I moved up. But point is I would torture myself by converting everything into an hour of work. And when your hour of work, what I did wasn't, you know, you're at your desk, you're talking on the phone. When you work in an office, things sort of bleed into other things. There's personal bleeds into work.
Right.
Like what it is you're typing away, you're doing your thing, and then the phone rings. Hey, it's your wife. You start talking to her for 10 minutes. You work. Hey, can you, a little business. Hey, can you pay the phone bill? And then you hang up. Then it's back to typing.
But when you're underneath a house with its coffee can.
Digging with a coffee can, Drew. It's all horrible. So everything.
Well, at least it was 96, 97 degrees at the time.
Got some shade down there.
And you had tons of eyewear, protective eye gear, and proper clothing.
Oh, great conversations with folks from Guatemala and Salvador and Mexico. It was fantastic. And here's the deal. So I would take everything and say, okay, you want to order an appetizer. All right, that bloomin' onion.
45 minutes.
$6.95. I'm getting $8.50 an hour minus taxes. Okay, that's an hour. It's got an hour, and everything was just that's 2 hours. Ooh, glass of wine. That's when it broke. Yeah.
Afternoon.
Start getting in that wine. Yeah. That's an afternoon's work. Oh, and it was devastating. And then if it wasn't great. Oh, so I would just drive home trying to belch up what I ate. Just say if I get like 50 cents back on my money. All right, let's talk to David over here, Drew.
Yeah,
David.
Yeah.
23.
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I'm calling because I have a problem.
All right.
I'm a compulsive masturbator. And I want to know if you guys knew how to cut that loose.
Well, we'll see if you're compulsive or not. Chris, get on the Dr. Phil website. See if we can find that. You ever wipe yourself with a curtain or drape? That's one. Do you have to put the picture of your mom down on the nightstand so you can focus? That's another. Are you good? You ever pulled off a hat trick without a severe calf cramp? That's
in 35 minutes with us.
Yeah, that's another one. Dave, what are you good for? What are you good for a day?
Probably about four times a day.
Four times a day.
Are you doing anything that costs money or that having consequence, you know what I mean, with the behavior?
No.
So it's just something you just do. You don't do it publicly. You know, no other...
I have a wife and child, but she's great. Everything's perfect. It's just I just don't get enough, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much?
I've been doing it since I was like 13, 14 years old.
Yeah. And you are having a normal relationship with your wife?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And are you completely unable to control this behavior?
I feel like I can't. It's just I get this sudden urge and I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just by yourself? You don't do anything risk-taking with it or anything of that sort?
No.
It's just a compulsive thing that kind of bothers you, wish you could control, but it's not an addiction having any consequence from it.
Yeah. But I understand when there are things that you feel like you'd like to control, but you can't, it makes you feel out of control. So why don't you try cutting it down to twice a day? You could do that.
Yeah.
I think you could do that.
Is it using internet or something like that or anything that you can kind of control?
Also, I'm going to check with them in a second.
I'm going to National Council on Sexual Addiction Compulsivity. I'll bring lots of good information back. But
fantastic.
Kind of
yeah. Make sure and bring brochures.
Yeah.
David.
Yeah.
Are you on the internet doing this?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But it's not as though there's any other access or any other stimulants that you're using. You're not nothing else going on here.
No, just pictures. Mm-hmm. And then I keep them basically in my head, and I remember them.
And you're not manic depressive, anything of that sort?
No, I don't think so.
All right. It's just this is
you're fine.
I mean, maybe just him. Yeah, that's a little bit excessive. But.
Well, let me say this too. 23-year-old guy. He's married. He has a kid. Feels a little caged in. This is a way for a guy to assert himself.
Yeah,
in a bizarre way.
A little me time.
It's me time. It really is. And we haven't talked about this in a long time, which is guys are sort of domesticated. They're not really. They're born into the wild, and they would like to do the rock star life, essentially. But they get domesticated, essentially broken. And
contained.
Contained.
Yes.
And then they're forced to sort of do their thing. It's easier for a guy 35 to do that than a guy's 22.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes, and, you know, stop me if I'm wrong, but a lot of couples get married, and they don't have a lot of money, and they live in confined quarters. So you physically don't have the space. And people don't make enough of this, you know, when they're like, oh, well, you're in love. Living on top
of... For a male who's used to being physically active, maybe outdoors.
You become like the panther in a zoo just pacing the cage.
And what do the monkeys do when they're contained in cages?
Feces party.
Feces throw and masturbating.
Right. So what you do with a guy is you sort of prematurely domesticate him.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
And now he's living in a very confined space with a child, with a woman, and now he wants to sort of claim some of his own life back, even if it's just an imaginary life. Mm-hmm. He's going to get on the internet. He's going to have a little fantasy. He's going to masturbate, maybe even headbutted the mic that time. Wow. He's going to create a little fantasy life for himself. And it's equivalent to the guy who's in prison putting a little picture that he pulled out of the Life magazine of a Jamaican tropical stream, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a little glimpse of the outside world. Now, when the warden comes in and rips the picture off and throws it away, now you got an angry prisoner.
Right.
Now someone's going to put a shiv in someone out in the yard.
Yeah.
As a woman, who's the warden, mm-hmm. You guys have to realize, especially you got a 22-year-old guy, back off. Let him beat off. Oh, write that down.
That's going to be the new slogan.
Give him a little room.
Back off so he can beat off.
Give him a little room. Do not put the screws to him. What ends up happening is the guy gets the screws put to him, starts feeling kind of pressured and cornered, even if he's not, then goes outside the house.
Right.
Then next thing you know, he's at a bachelor party. He's on top of some chick. Somebody rats him out, and the relationship's over.
Don't get so cathartic with it, but yeah.
No.
No. It may be something, you're absolutely right, and it may be something sort of sociobiological, maybe something that happens to the male human when you put him in a confined situation.
Yeah.
He just starts masturbating more. It's just a behavior that emerges from the biology of containment.
You start...
I know there's an explanation you've given that's good, but it may be something just more matter of fact.
Well, it's like masturbation becomes a metaphor for carving out... quality time with your junk.
Yeah.
It is like, I could remember living in like little apartments with chicks, like, what'd she get home from work? Okay, I could get one off. Well, maybe two. She can be home in 8 minutes.
You could argue that it's a way of, some masturbation is sort of an aggressive act, too. It's a way of just going, it's just mine for now.
Well, when I did it into her sock drawer, I think that.
How many times?
In retrospect. The socks all came out one piece. It was one the shape of the drawer, like frozen peas.
A big block. More like cream of spinach.
Cauliflower. put a fork in it. She actually put a fork in it and lifted the whole thing out at once. It was a socksicle. Yeah, that was aggressive. We had to soak it. We had to soak it in salt and baking soda and warm water just to break it up. I used a mop handle to break it up. Broke the mop handle trying to pry it. I should have soaked it a little longer.
Scene from Titanic.
That was aggressive. Yeah. I think that was aggressive. But other than that, I basically just trying to carve a little me time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
All right. We will... you know what?
What? I'm afraid. What?
I was thinking about this the other day. For some reason, I don't even know how I had it, but for some reason I had the Playboy channel. I must have had like cable, and they must have done some sort of thing where you get the Playboy channel.
Recently or when you were
This is living in North Hollywood.
Years ago.
A crappy apartment. Yeah. Strippers.
Well, that was sort of the first sort of version of cable. You get the Playboy channel.
Yeah, you get the Playboy channel.
Yeah.
And I had the cable, and I remember sort of looking and saying they were advertising some show that I really wanted to see. And Big Top Bonanza. I wanted to tape it. I wanted to tape it.
VCR.
But I was so lame that I couldn't figure out how to program the VCR. And I actually, here's what's happened in my life. I spent 20 years trying to figure out how to program the VCR, and then TiVo just came in and I just had, but I never actually learned
I'm
to
not
program
sure
the VCR.
I'm not sure there's a human that actually learned that.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
No.
I actually had my buddy John...
come around.
Break into my apartment. I told him, look, me and the gal pal going to be out to dinner, Friday. We're going to leave at 8. The show starts at 9. I need you to come in and physically record this.
Did you choose him because you know he'd be appreciative of this particular topic?
I think he was just in the neighborhood, and I knew he wouldn't sing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wouldn't rat you.
Yeah.
Did he pull it off?
I still have the tape.
What was it?
It was... The Playboy Summer Games from like Daytona Beach, but the big jugs, awesome. I still have it.
So no sex, just prancing.
Just prancing. Oh, please. Playboy didn't have sex back in the day.
Oh, is that right?
They're just all Playboy would do is 15 years ago would just rerun their stupid Playboy videos and calendar shoots and stuff like that. Playboy. The TV station was Playboy the magazine. It's just the chicks moved.
Right.
Now it's all hardcore. I don't know. I like to harken back to a more innocent time.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey everybody, Loveline. Man, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew and I just talking about the love of TiVo over nice lukewarm urination sex. Yeah, good whizzing.
My favorite thing, Adam, is you've ever noticed when I walk out, I take the stall, Adam takes the train.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice how when I walk out of the stall, you get that shiver thing?
I get the shiver.
Every time.
That's because I hear footsteps. I hear it coming up behind me. I'm like a small wideout who's forced to go over the middle.
What is that?
Feel that strong safety. I get the shiver thing when I take the whiz every once in a while.
But when I walk out, when I walk behind you, it's like, ugh.
Yeah. It's like thinking about, it's like having the hiccups and trying to think about not hiccuping, and it just
are you afraid I'm going to have it? You know what that is? That is years and years of your friends pouncing on you mm-hmm. when you're in the middle of a whiz.
I
you know your effed up friends. And
now what is that? I don't.
I think
that thing is just
pushing you into the latrine, right?
I think it's to shake the whiz loose.
No, but I mean, I think the reason you get the shudder,
shudder's to shake the last couple drops out of the urethra. That's my theory. That's why God does that.
Yeah.
That's God shaking your dingling.
Huh.
Eva?
Yes.
You're 26?
Uh-huh.
You're dating a 40-year-old married boss?
Yes.
He wants anal?
Yes.
Wow. He's got a strong sense of entitlement, this cat. Gonna date my employees, and I want anal.
How dare he?
Yeah.
The temerity of this man. He is jejuned to think that he can get away with that sort of nonsense.
Jejunishkity. Yeah. Is he married?
Yes.
Ooh.
What kind of work?
I'm sorry?
What kind of place is this that he's the boss of?
I'm an attorney.
Attorney, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're an employee?
No, I'm an attorney as well.
You're on the same level?
No, he's my supervisor.
So, isn't there a conflict there?
Well, we work in the same place, so no, there's no conflict. I mean, I'm not a client, and neither is he. So.
No, but there's an authority issue here. He's
yeah.
He's
oh yeah, definitely. I'm a subordinate.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, we don't. I mean, are you just because you're attorneys, you're bigger than the law. That doesn't apply to you guys. That's an issue.
It is an issue. I agree.
It's a huge issue. And then what about the marriage?
That's an issue.
We have never talked to a woman dating a married guy where the guy, in spite of him talking how miserable he is, how horrible his wife is, where the guy ever leaves his wife.
Oh, he's never told me that his wife is miserable or his marriage.
And by the way, look, if your wife lets you hit 26-year-old workmates in the keister or doesn't know about it, you don't have to go anywhere. I mean, Drew, think about it. You'd never have to leave your wife if, you know.
She was on board with it?
Well, forget about being on board. I shouldn't even said that. Just doesn't know. I mean, here's the thing. You're married. You have a house. Look, let's face it. A lot of guys don't want to get divorced just for the
financial
money.
Reasons. Yeah,
financial reasons. They don't want to. They love their kids. They love their wife. Maybe whatever. The wife's a little long in the tooth. The romance is gone. The kids are hassling
the Coolidge
everybody.
Effect.
Yeah, and I don't want to get in that story again. But the point is, I think they do have this worked out in certain parts of Europe, which is you get a little something on the side, and you get a mistress, and you get to stay a little bit, and you go home, and you're happy.
And we don't have that in this country.
No, we don't. But I would like to work.
No, it's not a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. No. So, no. Drew's right.
Avis, what can we do for you? What exactly do you have in mind tonight?
Well, wait a minute. You passed the bar. You're a full-fledged attorney.
Correct.
Wow. And only 26. Doing well for yourself.
What kind of law do you like to practice?
Criminal defense.
Oh.
Nice. And so you started having an affair with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
How long's that been going on?
Since July, so just a few months.
Just July. And how did he... weave the anal into the conversation, into the pillow talk?
Well, it's something that he's told me that he enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I think just
that we,
by virtue of being an attorney, enjoy screwing people in the ass. I mean, I think that comes with the territory. Drew, seriously, I'm not kidding. There's a lot of reaming going on with those people.
Is he also criminal defense?
Yes.
So it's not so much reaming.
All right. This feels, we don't trust this guy. I don't like him. He's cheating on his wife. He's an attorney. No offense.
He's in an authority position, and he's abusing that position.
He is, and as an attorney, by the way, should know better than anybody what the
liability is of that.
Consequences could possibly be.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably, you know... bring some sort of sexual harassment lawsuit against
him. Probably.
Yes?
Well, it's been pretty consensual, so.
Yeah, I know, but even
when there's
even
an authority
so,
imbalance like that, the consensuality doesn't matter so much, does it?
I would imagine there. It's not a strong case, but there's still a case. And by the way, even win, lose, or draw, it could be very ugly for him.
Ava, are you a victim?
I'm sorry?
Are you a victim, childhood victim of some sort?
No.
Nothing?
No, nothing at all.
So how do you perceive this relationship? Is it just something that...
I'm absolutely in love with him. And
oh, really?
I never thought I was ever going to have an affair with a married man.
Right.
I'm not very experienced. I've only dated one guy my whole life.
I know. You're a good student.
Yeah. What happened with that relationship?
We were together for about 5 years, and it ended recently in April.
Mm-hmm. All right, so...
21 to 26, and before that, early 20 to 25, before that, no relationships, huh?
No.
All right, Eva, here's the thing. He has no intention of leaving his wife.
Well, it's just something that it's not something that we really discussed, and I don't expect him to, and
right.
He loves his wife dearly.
So what do you want to get out of this?
Yeah.
What's in this for you?
He loves his wife dearly and loves Eva rarely. Yeah. Whoa.
High five.
A rare high five from Dr. Drew. Oh, second high five. Listen, Eva, I know it sort of feels good and the attention, and it's hard when you're working with someone and you're infatuated and attracted and so on and so forth.
And you just broken up from a five-year relationship.
Yeah, this is going nowhere, and this is going to be a sort of a slow death, and this is this is a limb that needs to be amputated, and you can't stand. Your thing is like, how am I going to get by without my leg? And it's like, you're going to get gangrene, and you're going to die.
You may want to get out of that work environment, I would suggest, if you possibly can.
You're smart. You can tell him this has to end. I have feelings for you. And if you change your mind...
Or if you leave your wife.
And that's what I'm talking about. Then we can, wait a few months and give me a call. But, you and your wife, I got to move on. It's best for you, Eva. You're smart.
It's best for everybody.
Okay.
Although God knows this guy will do this with somebody else.
Yeah. You guys will wave us. And no anal, naturally. All right. Let me tell you. Guys got... attorneys got... male attorneys. Any attorneys. Huge wave us. You know what I mean? Screwing around with my wife. Banging an underling over at work. Like some anal.
At some time, they start thinking that nothing matters. Everything's relative.
Yeah, well, that's what ends up happening with their profession, which is it's not really about right or wrong or guilty or innocent. It's just we'll just collect this evidence and we'll see if we can get people off on a technicality.
Nothing matters.
Or it doesn't really matter if, silicone breast implants don't actually damage anybody. There's money to be made. And I hear people argue that all the time, and it drives me nuts. It's sort of like, well, look, we all know the guy did X, Y, or Z, but they didn't prove beyond a reasonable doubt that, okay, but if we all know the guy's guilty, and then ultimately, isn't that enough? You know what we really need? We need in this country, Drew, we have to start focusing on the spirit of the law.
Oh, my.
And not the letter of the law.
Absolutely.
Oh, my. Oh, my. And it's not only the attorney's fault. Although I'd like to blame it on him. It's everyone's fault. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone but me and Drew. Possibly engineer Chris.
But you mean for taking the system and abusing it?
Well, here's what we do. What we do is there's the four-way stop sign in the middle of the desert, and you roll through it, and you get the ticket. Because technically you didn't come to a stop, but of course the spirit of the law is trying for you not to T-bone another car. And the reality is there was zero... safety it was a zero factor, and therefore you shouldn't get the ticket. But then it's like, oh, no, you didn't come to a complete stop, or you rolled through this at 4 a.m, or you turned left and there was no traffic coming. Yeah, all this nonsense. And then that just bleeds into the courts. The cops get it started with the technical BS, chicken-ass ticket that had everything to do with the letter of the law, nothing to do with the spirit of the law. I mean, you make these rules so X, Y, and Z doesn't happen, and then we all just start spinning out. It's like I took that that flight that time, and the stupid hatch was open on the overhead luggage thing, and we couldn't take the plane off. Oh, I was at my best.
Oh, my God.
And I said, there's nothing in. They took.
I'm so glad I was not on that plane.
Oh. It was uncomfortable. They took, you know, had a couple Bloody Marys, just sitting in first class and running late. Had someone like picking me up from the airport. Why aren't we going? Well, because the latch is screwed up on the overhead compartment, and the door, which has a sort of pneumatic spring-loaded opener, is now going open. We shut it, and then it starts slowly opening again. Well, what's wrong? Why aren't we leaving? Well, FAA regulations say you can't take the plane off unless the thing is securely shut. Well, let's empty it out. Oh, no, there's nothing in it. Well, then let's take off. Oh, no, you can't do it if it's open. Yeah, so junk doesn't fall on people's head. Sir, please, sit down. It's only the reason it can't be open is so my camera case does not conk old Betty on the head over there and cause some hematoma.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think I said hematoma.
It's all good.
That's a town.
It's all good. I was gonna let it go.
All right,
Manitoba.
Yeah, I know. I got hematoma and Manitoba. The point is. This is lawyers. This is letter of the law. Yeah, the spirit of the law is, look, we got to make sure these are close so no one gets hit on the head with a falling object.
Sort of one of the purposes of the law is to make us do the right thing, to do the
good.
Yes. But the good
now
guys
just work around
the good
it.
Guys have become the bad guys.
Yes.
And now it's all about making the good guys bad. That's what the law is for.
Let me tell you, I sat there, and so I said, okay, so we got to get it shut? And it's shut. Go get some duct tape and put a piece of duct tape on if it needs to be shut. Sir, please, sit down. You know, and I said, look, let's just go. What are we doing here? I mean, come on. This is not going to do anything. It's empty. What's air? Is air going to fall out? Air? What? Is some air stuck in there that's going to land on someone's head? Let's go. Let's get it going. And that's what, by the way, that's what we need in this life.
Move
and this is why I turn left at every one of those chicken-ass red arrows. When the signal's green, I see the earth curving in the distance. I'm not buying into it. I'm turning. I'm taking the plane off. We need people we need a groundswell of this. And this is what we need.
Yes.
We need people
civil
taking
disobedience.
This. Yeah. We need to take our country back.
Yeah, you're right. So.
And I said, put some duct tape on it and let's go. And she was like, I was federal marshals. And by the way, this is pre 9/11. If it was post 9/11, I would have been dragged off the plane
as
a maniac. Yeah. Of course, everyone else is just sitting there with their thumbs up their ass because they're too chicken ass to say anything. Okay, it may have been the booze talking. But I said, let's go. Let's do it. Let's go. What are we doing here? This is costing money. Let's go. I got someone meet me at the airport. Let's go, sir. So, maintenance guy comes in, makes three or four trips, takes a few passes with the screwdriver,
duct
goes
tape.
Back and forth. Of course. Yeah, but an hour and 40 minutes later, pulls out the duct tape. Oh, that was great. But then, of course, I had my day in the sun with the stewardess.
Yes.
But then it was payback time from Chicago.
I was then ignored
or abused for the rest of that flight because I brought the duct tape on.
I'd
been burned.
Yes.
Yeah, and she was wounded the entire flight. All I'm saying is let's focus on a spirit of the law, and let's move forward with our lives.
Yeah.
And let's all decide. Let's all decide when it's okay to turn left. I think we can decide.
Yeah.
We decided at the last signal that didn't have the goddamn arrow. Can we decide on this? We can decide to take the airplane off. We can do all this.
There's all kinds of things you cannot decide to do unless you are in France.
That's right.
Then you can do it all.
That's right.
You can be an adult.
You're in Europe. You get to walk around with a beer in your hand.
A glass.
Imagine.
And a cigarette.
Oh, my God. You can actually smoke.
In the open air.
Ah, I know. And I can't believe that people aren't just finishing off their Heinekens and throwing them into open crowds. No. We have to cover everything with padding. Adults have to drink everything out of plastic cups. Every lighter has to have a childproof thing on it. And that goddamn childproof thing, I mean, it's like I find myself fits. Drew, try to light a lighter, by the way. You're just sitting there and you're like holding and some. First off, if we're going to childproof something, can't we just do it one way? Do we have to have as many different devices for lighters as there are lighters? It's like, there's nothing worse. Someone gives you their lighter, and it's like, hup, hup, and then the guy's come. No, no. You got to pull out the choke on this one and then twist it half a click to the left, and then you had to put a set of chopsticks up your ass, and that's the one this one likes. Oh, yeah, because mine, I just got the one with the big band on it that doesn't really let you turn the flint.
At all.
Oh, no. Oh, you tried it once? Yeah, yeah, I'm trying again. No, no, you got to reset.
You forgot the chopsticks.
You got to reset it. You got to reset after each try, right? I'm just sitting there wearing the skin off of my thumb like a retard going, what are we doing? Arguing with every bottle. Really? That's it? Because a handful of idiots every year burn their trailer down because a handful of kids that aren't watching
OD on something. How about this? The medication Vioxx was just taken off the market. It's a great medication.
Great medication.
10 cases out of 10,000 may be associated with heart trouble. Maybe.
Yeah.
Forget the thousands of people are helped by it. We got to take it off the market.
No.
Gotta relabel it.
Here's the next time you're just sitting in your house and you're hearing that meep, 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 meep because a garbage truck has put it in reverse and they don't want to run over the kids and you're struggling with your lighter and you're trying to get your aspirin open, you just think of me and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Yeah. Drew's song, yeah?
There we go.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Drew digs the Modest Mouse.
Isn't that a great song?
Yeah, I do. Got a nice little retro vibe to
it. Yeah, a little bit, right.
If you like this, you'd love The Cure as far as music.
I remember The Cure.
Drew remembers The Cure. They were in here.
Sounds just like The Cure, though.
Yeah, The Cure was in here a few times back in the day.
Yeah.
This is The Cure.
Yes, very much so.
Drew, I would like you to make a list of the bands that have been in here.
Half might forget. I wouldn't know that they had actually been here.
Ann should pull those.
Ann showed me a picture of Jennifer Lopez in here with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And you've had like Kaja Goo Goo and all those crazy. I mean, those.
Pretty Politti.
Were those 80s bands?
Catherine like, Wheel.
Where are they now kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
They've all been through.
They're making dinosaur heads out of weird materials and stuff.
All right. We'll call back to nothing.
Yeah.
Ray.
Yes.
20.
Yeah.
Gay sex addict.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. You cheat on your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old is he?
He's in his 30s.
Uh-oh.
How long have you been with him for?
Excuse me?
How long have you been with him?
For like a year and a half.
And you cheat regularly?
Yeah.
How often?
I would say it can be up to like 2 or 3 times a week. It's kind of crazy.
2-3 times. I guess you can do that if you guys.
Yeah.
Where do you cheat? Besides in the ass.
I just meet people. Just see people like at a coffee shop or just like at a club or something.
You have to go to a gay coffee shop or a gay club?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
He just knows where to hang out.
All right. You know where to hang out. And, you know, in a way, I guess if you're gay, you kind of become like drug addicts, where you got to go to the places where the stuff is.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know that sounds horrible, but what I mean is, look, you want to get some sex tonight. You can't be wasting your time in some Starbucks where there's no gays. I mean, you got to go to where the action is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the deal is, Ray, were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
No. No. Really?
Sounds disappointed.
Hey, you weren't, really?
No.
All right. And when you cheat with these guys, oral or more?
More.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. He's
a more than often.
Which end are you on?
I'm usually receiving.
Receiving. All right.
Catcher.
Is that yes, we know, Drew. More likely to get a disease, yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam. Condoms, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And how old were you when you first started having sex?
Like 17.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to get sexual addiction without first either being addicted to something else or having sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just I know that it's just like an insatiable hunger that I have. I don't...
Bottomless anus syndrome. Drew, let me say this. Hold on, Ray. I'm going to defend you. As a guy, you have an appetite.
No, I get you.
I would argue that gays may even have a more prodigious appetite. So you're gay, you're 20, and you want to get it on three times a week.
Well, then you should break up with his boyfriend and go do that.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Is he a sugar daddy?
No, but we've kind of developed a really great relationship together.
Then, stop getting cornholed by strangers.
Yeah, it's a great way to treat the guy you really love.
That's the problem I have, though. Is
all right. Well, look.
Well, then go to SA because then you're an addict in general. You've been addicted to something else first, and/or you've been sexually abused, or both.
Right.
And this has to be dealt with. And if you don't remember it, you can't put it all together. Fine. But you've got to process this material because it's having a consequence, having an effect on your life.
Tyler, 18. He and his girlfriend are both virgins. She won't have sex.
Yes.
Been dating for a year. Is she religious?
Sort of.
Okay.
Not to an extent, but yeah.
Cyprus. How religious can she be?
Yeah. Does she want to wait till she's married?
You know, she says that, but to a point when we talk about it, it seems more like she's afraid of getting pregnant.
All right. So she's freaked out because her mom got pregnant earlier. She has a sister.
No, actually, her mom didn't get pregnant with her until she was 30.
With her until she was 30, but she has a sister who's in her 60s.
No. She's an only child.
Oh, really? In her 30s?
Yeah.
I wonder why. Well, then maybe mom was just
all over her
nailed that, that home.
All right, look, Tyler, you cannot put the screws to her. Pardon the pun. You'll freak her out. She'll recoil.
Yeah.
You know, and just play casual.
Get her to be more honest about what her goals are.
And then
should declare her major here. What's
because
her plan?
You can use birth control if that's a cause.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other hand, don't come at her with your junk swinging in the wind.
No.
Just pretend like you don't want it either for about 10 seconds and then jump on her.
All right.
Be back. Well, that's the show, y'all. Bonnie Somerville in here tomorrow night, the new hottie lead from NYPD Blue, and then Puddle of Mud in here on Wednesday the 6th, and we're getting some calls from Iraq, and they were just there doing a little USO action, so we'll talk to them all about that. I would
Iraq.
Be interested in Iraq and finding out how that went. So
that same night, people should be tuning in to see Adam on CBS. Huh?
That's right.
12:30.
That's right. A little late show action. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
Madman.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.